This is Jennifer Voss, and I'm substituting for the wonderful Terry DeMeo, who is off doing things with the Dalai Lama this week. and it is June the 13th, 2016, and I am with the October Life Coach Training Cohort Group F, and this is Coach the Coach, the first class of Practicum 4. And the beautiful, wonderful thing about this practicum and these classes is that there are no quote-unquote artificial rule criteria. I mean, we're not coming and saying use the metaphor tool or anything. You are coming with whatever toolbox you have, and it could just be a full session of say more and tell me where I'm wrong and throwing out hunches. That's fine. You can run a whole session on that almost. It's, you know, coming with your toolbox as it is and practicing and playing and meeting the client where they are and us having a dialogue and a discussion around it so that we can have fun, maybe help a few clients and learn some things. And that's it. And then you can ask me questions at the end if you want to, if we have time. So, let's start off with questions. Any questions to start off with? I didn't see any out on the forum. Anything you've run across with your clients or with a session that brought up questions? I will take silence as a no. Okay. Then let's just get coaching and dive right in. So, Patricia, you had posted on the forum that you wanted to be the client. Yes. Are you where you can be the client?
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. I was doing the pressing to unmute, and it just made noise instead of
yeah, that's in. Fine. That's fine. I just wanted to make sure you were in a place where you could be safely be the client. And so we did not have someone raise their hand at the top of the hour to or on the forum to be the coach. So, what brave soul, and I don't bite, I promise, would like to coach first? And I can call on somebody. Oh, come on. Okay, I heard from a couple of you why you cannot. So, let's see. Who has not coached in a while? Oh, and I see somebody else has joined that did not say hello to. Is this Cy?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? Just want to say hi. Hi. And are you willing to coach by chance?
I am willing. I'm not sure if the noise level is bad because I'm, like, by the water. I just relocated.
I cannot hear it.
To a new place. And can you hear?
I cannot hear. Patricia, the important person is Patricia. Patricia, can you hear Cy?
Yes. Hi, Cy.
Hi, Patricia.
They bonded already. So as long as the noise is, I mean, there's noise for several of you guys, but I can't hear the noise behind you. So why don't we give it a go, and I'll be here if you need any assistance or anything.
Oh,
and
okay.
There are no
rules. All right.
All right.
All right, great. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hi to the orcas.
All right. Sorry?
Hi to the orcas.
Yes, hi. Hi from Orcas Island. All right, so let's get started. I'm not sure about reception, so hopefully it goes well. So if not, let me know if you can't hear me or whatever. I'm going to try to move. But otherwise, okay, so are you sitting up comfortably, Patricia?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. All right, let's start with a little bit of breathing to center ourselves, including me here. So let's close the eyes. And then start to notice your feet planted on the floor or carpet, hardwood floor or carpet, whatever your feet are planted on. Notice your toes. Notice how it feels to have your feet planted. And then notice your hands. And notice whatever your hands are resting on. Notice the texture, the fabric, whatever you feel. And then start to become aware of your breath flowing in and out of your body. And then start to notice the rising and falling of the breath, maybe in your chest or your belly. And then start to consciously bring more breath into the body by deeply inhaling through the nose. And then exhaling out through the mouth. And then again, inhaling deeply and creating more space in the body. And then exhaling out and releasing tension. And then one more time, inhaling deeply through the nose. And then completely let go as you exhale. And then you can open your eyes and tell me what's going on, Patricia. So what do you want to get coached on?
Well, I'd like to get coached on my inability to let things go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. So do you have any specific situation that you have come across recently?
Yeah, I could pick one.
Okay.
I'm currently working in a team, and there's someone who I have a hard time talking with because he's pretty pedantic and arrogant. And you know, he's a kind of person that I frequently have to work with in my area, and so I have sensitivities to his type. And he gets my back hairs up, and I can start out real fine, but then when he gets talking and sharing opinions and responding to my what I'm presenting or talking about, I just get, you know, really uncomfortable. And then I can never let it go. Like, I can't let it go that last week I had a bad interaction with him. I just run it in my head over and over and over again and think about, you know, what could I do? What could I do? What could I do? What could be different?
Mm-hmm. So tell me more about that.
Forever. What?
Okay. So tell me more about that particular situation, you know, the scenario that you keep running in your head.
I keep on thinking about how I could respond differently, because we definitely got a lot of tension going, and we argued, and you know, things weren't resolved, and it was just uncomfortable. You know, as part of a group, you know, it just wasn't good for group dynamics.
Okay.
So
I would love to hear more about exactly what was said and what was the situation exactly, so I know, I have a little more idea.
Okay, so I won't bore you with the technical dialogue, but I was presenting ideas about our team, my responsibility on a team. We're doing an evaluation, and I have an area that I'm presenting on, and I was talking through it. And there were a lot of interruptions. It's a hot topic. I happen to have the part that everybody has very strong opinions about. And so everybody was interrupting, and everybody was interrupting, and everybody was interrupting. And in the end, he ended up taking over my particular area and summarizing what he thought should have been said and what was the most important thing. And it was very planned. It was very theoretic. It had nothing to do with what was really going on the ground and what we were evaluating. And it was just very, like, an academic thing. And, you know, and he sounded very, I don't know. He sounded academic. And he just took us totally off course, and took me a whole day to get people back on the same, you know, on a more realistic tone about what people are really doing in the field, and being concrete and starting with what they're going to do instead of some kind of research concept. And so it was really frustrating, because I never really got to talk about the issues I wanted to talk about. Because I ran out of time. You know, we only had so much time for each team member. Is that more, is that better detail?
I think so. I'm getting the sense that you're very frustrated from the interaction you have this, with this particular coworker. And one thing I got was get clear about, you were talking in a group meeting, and then he took over and he took the group in a different direction. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Because he ended up summarizing things. People began to listen to what he was talking about, but what he was talking about was totally theoretic and had nothing to do with what actually our client was doing on the ground in these different countries. It was just something one might write in the beginning of their dissertation. You know, it was just just not that useful.
Okay. And what's the most frustrating thing about this situation? And it seems recurring, correct? This is not the
I think for me the more, there's like two parts of it that are frustrating, is that I let people like that get my back hairs up, and so I seem to end up responding in a way that we have a meltdown, and then I feel bad about it, and I feel bad about it for days. And that's what I really want to deal with, is why I can't let things like this go. Whether I was right or whether I was wrong, why can't I let it go?
Okay. And when you say meltdown, what do you mean by the meltdown?
We were clearly like arguing and unhappy with each other's answers, and we were sharp with each other, and he was just talking over me. He was just going and just interrupting me, talking right over.
Okay. And so this is an actual argument that you had with this person, with him?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay. And what was, so tell me about your inability to let things go. What are the thoughts or, you know, things that were said that you keep repeating in your head?
You know, couldn't I have said something different? Couldn't I have handled it differently? You know, why do I keep on doing this? How come I find myself in this situation all the time? You know, that next thing, you know. And so
So you could have said something differently. You could have done things differently. Is that pretty much the tone of what you're thinking? Repeating over and over?
And I'm responsible.
Tell me one more.
You know, I'm responsible for the
I'm responsible.
Whether I am or not, I just feel responsible for the argument, and I feel different.
Right. So, Patricia, what are you making that mean when you feel like you could have done, you know, the argument didn't go, the conversation didn't go well, and you're thinking, oh, I should have said this, I should have done this, I should have done things differently? So what are you making that mean about yourself?
I'm difficult.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm difficult. Okay. What else? Is there anything else?
For the moment, that's what I'm thinking. Or maybe I'm too
Maybe what? I'm sorry?
I'm too reactive.
Okay. Okay, so I'm getting a hunch that this is what's really this is what really gets stuck in your mind. Oh, I'm so difficult. I'm so reactive, and I should have done things differently. Tell me why I'm wrong.
That does too, but the situation of these kinds of people presenting themselves. I mean, I don't mean any offense if they're men on the line as well. But there's a certain type of arrogant male that's in my discipline who kind of pushes everybody around and pushes the agenda around. And and they pop up a lot, and then they really obstruct the work, and it makes it not possible. And so why do they keep on cropping up is what, you know, is what comes into my head too. How do I find myself with these people all the time? Why can't I learn how to communicate with these people so it doesn't fall apart?
So why can't I communicate better with this kind of people? Is that,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why can't I? Okay, I'm just taking notes. What else? Why can't I communicate better with these kind of people? And what other thoughts that, what other thoughts go through your head?
I guess the last one would be, why do these people keep showing up, you know?
Why do these people show up? Yeah, and tell me more about these people. What kind of people? You mentioned some. You said the male, the men. Yeah, tell me their characteristics.
Well, I work in a male dominated field, and I work in a field where people have a lot of education, and there are a lot of people who come from institutions where they, you know, they're respected, so they come with, you know, a little bit of arrogance about that too, and it's a mixed group of people. So there tend to be people who don't have a lot of that, you know, background, and so you get a dynamic in a group where, like the opinion leaders, just because they happen to act a certain way or come from a certain place. Does that make it clear?
Okay, so if you were to describe these people, could you give me some adjectives? They are.
They're very educated. They're, I mean, things like I said before, like arrogant, opinionated.
Arrogant.
Self-important.
Opinionated. Self-important, okay. Self-important, okay.
They're smart. Experience, too. I mean, And, you know. So
you said they're, go ahead.
A bit self-centered.
Self-centered, okay. So they're very educated, smart, arrogant, opinionated, self-important, what was the last one you told me? I just forgot.
And they're sort of old boy network type, you know. They're the
self-centered.
They're the old boy.
Okay. Okay. All right. So you mentioned two things that the first one you mentioned, you feel like you're responsible, you're difficult, you're reactive. Why can't I communicate better with these kinds of people? And then on the other hand, you know, I'm working with these. They're, on one hand, very educated and smart, but very arrogant and opinionated and self-important, self-centered. So which one brings you more suffering and misery when you're looping in your head and repeating this scenario? So what was frustrating to you?
You were the one about them.
Yeah, so which one is bringing more misery to you? Because I feel like those two things are two different things that we can work on.
Yeah. I'm more concerned about the one where that I play the accusing, you know, the blaming and, you know, guilty roles in my own head, because I do this not only in this environment, I do this with all kinds of stuff. Whereas
so the fact that you're
life, that's just
blaming
the example I have.
Okay, so the fact, sorry, I didn't catch the last part. You're bothered by the fact that you're blaming other people and being reactive. Is that what you said? Did I get it right?
I'm blaming myself, and
you're blaming yourself,
and for letting the situation fall apart, and for not you know, being able to handle it better, and you know, et cetera.
Okay, so that bothers you more than having to think about how arrogant they are and self-important. Okay. All right. So let's work on that, the self, the talk you have about yourself. mentioned I'm difficult, I'm reactive, why can't I? So what is your, you mentioned some of the things, so why do I end up with these people? Why can't I communicate better with these kinds of people? You're difficult, you're reactive. What bothers you the most? What brings up the most suffering? What thoughts?
I don't know if there's one.
And when you say, why can't I communicate with these kinds of people, what does that mean? What are you making that mean about yourself, that I can't communicate with these kinds of people? And what are you making that mean about yourself when you're thinking this?
You know, that I'm hard to get along with, that I'm disruptive.
I'm hard to get along with. Mm-hmm.
That
okay.
I'm not constructive.
I'm
not a good team player.
Disruptive. Mm-hmm. Not a good team player.
I mean, all things that I don't think are 100%, you know, true. I mean, I have plenty of evidence that, you know, I'm,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do stuff. But, you know, this repetitive thing, I just keep on saying, why does this happen? Why does this happen? Why do
mm-hmm.
I experience of this negative experience?
Sure. So when you think of, so let me repeat what you said. I'm hard to get along with. I'm disruptive. I'm not a good team player. What brings up the most negative emotions and feelings?
Not one.
Do they all bring up strong emotions?
Yeah, they all kind of do. Well, maybe that I'm difficult, because it's more general.
I'm difficult. Okay.
It's not
okay.
Like stronger, but
mm-hmm.
it's more general.
Sorry?
It's not that it's really stronger, but it's more general. I can generalize that to other circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm difficult to get along
with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm difficult to get along with. Okay. So let's do the work, if you're willing, Patricia.
Uh huh.
Okay. All right. I'm difficult to get along with. Is that true?
Sometimes.
Okay. So yes. Okay. Are you absolutely sure that it's true?
Not all the time. So I guess not always.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how do you feel when you think this thought? So think back, recall the scenario that you had in your mind where you're repeating over and over what happened and thinking, oh gosh, I'm so difficult to get along with. How do you feel?
I feel disappointed.
What are you?
Disappointed? Out of control.
Out of control?
Yeah, guilty.
Mm-hmm. Out of control, guilty. Okay. What else?
Maybe weak.
Weak. Uh-huh. Hmm. Weak. Tell me more about that. Weak. You feel weak.
I don't handle the situation well, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I can't bring myself around to do that, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else? Out of control, guilty, weak, don't handle situations well. What else? Anything else?
I mean, I just feel generally uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable. Okay. All right. And how do you treat people when you're thinking this thought? I am difficult to get along with.
I'm obviously not treating the other person well.
Yeah, tell me some of the ways in which you treat people when you have this thought.
I tend to be reactive. I probably overreact. I'm reactive and I overreact.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really open. I'm not listening so well. You know, I'm actually closed.
Mm. Okay, not listening to others. Okay. Anything else?
And I'm feeling defensive.
Defensive, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how are you feeling towards them? So you're feeling defensive, not listening? How are you seeing others? How are you seeing that team member, the guy that you were thinking of?
I'm thinking he's not very nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking he's inconsiderate and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So generally thinking negative thoughts toward him.
Yeah, thinking negative thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Negative thoughts, okay. And how are you treating yourself when you're thinking these thoughts?
When I'm thinking the thought, reflecting, you know, about it, when it's
mm-hmm.
actually, I'm not exactly sure what I'm thinking about myself. I just kind of defending my
position. You're reflecting, you said?
No, when I'm reflecting, I'm feeling bad about myself.
Okay, so when you're thinking this thought, I'm difficult to get along with?
Mm-hmm. I feel bad.
How are you treating yourself?
Not nicely.
Not nicely,
judging,
okay.
Judging myself. My little lizard's coming out.
Sure. Okay. So you're, when you have this thought, you feel out of control, you feel guilty, weak, uncomfortable. And where do you feel this feeling? Where do you feel all these feelings? Guilty, out of control, weak, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Where do you feel that in your body?
I feel it in my forehead. I feel it.
Forehead, okay. Mm-hmm.
I feel it in my chest. And I feel,
okay.
feel it in my throat.
In your throat, okay. Describe a little more. Tell me if you can close your eyes, the forehead, what is it, like scrunching or tight or what are you experiencing?
On my forehead is kind of, you know, scrunching, but in my
uh-huh.
in my throat and my chest, yeah, I guess it's kind of scrunching there too. It's closing up.
Closing up, okay.
Yeah, and okay. I feel a kind
closing
of a sense of heat too.
Heat, okay.
Yeah.
Where is the heat?
But it's not like, you know, sweaty heat. It's just heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where do you feel that?
Probably not. And in those three areas.
Okay. In all three areas. Okay. Heat. All right. So you feel it in the forehead, the chest, throat, closing up, scrunching, heat. All right. That sounds very intense. All right. So, Patricia, I want you to imagine taking a nap. Nice 20-minute nap. And when you wake up, you lose the ability to think this thought. I am difficult to get along with or any other variation of this thought. Who would you be?
I'd be more relaxed and open.
Mm-hmm.
I would be more deliberate in how and thoughtful in how I communicate.
Thoughtful. Okay. In the way you communicate. And how do you feel in your body?
I feel like a sense of alert, but not the heat or clamping.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you mentioned relax, so I think you're a little more relaxed in the body as well?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm more relaxed in the body, but I'm kind of alert if that circumstance is happening.
Alert.
But at
mm-hmm.
the...
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know...
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting because you mentioned when you have the thought, you say you're out of control.
Yeah.
When you're relaxed, you have this sense of alert where you're able to communicate better,
yeah.
Sounds like. Yeah. Good. All right. All right. So I want you to kind of just take it in, the notice the contrast of where you are when you have this thought, and when how you feel without the thought, and how better able to function in the way you communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay, great.
It's right. Very clear.
So let's turn it around, Patricia. So let's turn around. I'm difficult to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
To the opposite.
I'm not difficult.
So what would that be?
Would that be I'm not difficult to get along with?
You can do the opposite as difficult. What would be the opposite as difficult?
I'm easy to get along with.
You're easy to get along with. Okay. All right. And please give me 3 examples of that statement being true. Real life examples. Mm-hmm. Any little small examples that you have?
Yes.
You can think of? Mm-hmm. In this situation.
In this kind of situation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, I usually am helpful and providing lots of support to people who are trying to do, you know, their part. So I participate a lot. And I, you know, help them and give them ideas and things like that. So I share.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. What else?
In that kind of situation. I think it'd be very friendly.
Friendly,
Make a congenial atmosphere.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
And I usually notice in the room when people aren't getting a chance or something, I usually notice it and find a way to, you know, get them involved or whatever. So I think that's also good.
So you're inclusive? You include other people? Is that what you said? Or
yeah, I mean, I try to. If somebody else is doing it, if I'm talking, maybe I'm not as good about that.
Mm-hmm. So you include people. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. So you're helpful. You provide support to people, you're friendly, you create this congenial atmosphere, you include people. Okay, great. Okay, let's see if there's another turnaround. I am difficult to get along with. I'm easy to get along with. Do you have any turnaround, Patricia, that you can think of?
What am I supposed to be turning it around to?
There may not be one, then, in which case it's fine.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe others are difficult to get along with, trying to change it to the other, or I don't know.
If that brings peace, we're good. Does that bring more suffering or peace?
I don't know if it brings me more peace.
Yeah, I get the sense.
For kicks and giggles, why don't you just try to find some pieces of evidence of, you know, they are difficult to get along with or he is difficult to get along with.
Okay.
All right, so let's go with that.
Okay. He is difficult to get along with. Well, he's talking over me.
Okay.
He's talking off the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's it.
He talks over you, talking off subject.
In a condescending way as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, his voice is very condescending.
seems condescending. Uh-huh. Okay. It's difficult to get along with. Good. Okay. Okay. I have another turnaround. So let's do it, since you did it to the others, let's do it to self.
Oh, that I am difficult to get along with? That's the original, right?
With me? No, I know, but I was thinking of maybe adding me. I am difficult to get along with
me
or myself.
You know me too well.
How does that sound? How does that feel?
Yeah, that one's good.
I'm difficult to get along
with myself,
what sounds good to you?
With me is fine.
Okay, so I'm difficult to get along with me. Okay, give me examples. Three examples.
That I judge myself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm trying to think. I know there's a lot of them. I'm not thinking of them. I don't give myself space. And I project, you know, I project on others, you know, I do a lot of this being in other people's business and turning around things on myself.
You judge yourself, you don't give yourself space. Mm-hmm. And when you say space, what do you mean by that?
You know, an opportunity to just, you know, relax. Like I don't, give myself that breath.
Yeah, opportunity to relax.
I push myself to, you know.
Think.
Yeah, think, act.
Analyze. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, and project.
And I obligate myself basically to react. You know, it's like, I have to. I have to say, I have to be, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Let it go and just forget about it. Just watch the clouds outside the window.
Yeah. So, Patricia, how do you feel going through these turnarounds with some of the realizations you had? I'm easy to get along with. You're helpful, friendly. You include people. You provide support. And maybe he's difficult to get along with. You know, talking off subject, he talks over you, he's condescending, and you're difficult to get along with yourself because you judge yourself a lot and don't give yourself space to relax, to let go, and you're doing a lot of projecting. So how do you feel with having these realizations?
Well, I sort of know them, you know. So, you know, they're not surprising. And I'm not sure how they keep me ruminating.
Okay, so what is so having had these turnarounds? What is something that you can do to live these turnarounds, especially I think I have a hunch that just don't give yourself space piece is kind of big for you. So what are some of the things you think you can do this week, tiny little adjustments that you can make this week, perhaps when a similar situation comes along, and what do you think you can do to have that space within yourself, to be to have the sense of alert, but you have the thoughtfulness in the way you communicate, you can be deliberate, you can be relaxed and open. without the thought you had, I'm difficult to get along with. So what are the things that you can think of that you can implement easily to live these turnarounds?
I guess I could just not respond. I guess I could just go like, you know, other people do and just go, mm-hmm, and then that just not have a response but ignore what he says.
Okay, that's one. Anything else?
You know, it's a really positive
Ignore what he says?
What he's done, it is a solution.
And what else? So you can ignore what he says, not be reactive. Yeah?
That would keep me from having a situation that I feel so responsible to go over and over and over in my head.
Yeah. So what when that happens, what would help you have that space to just go, I can relax a little bit?
I don't know.
Is there any idea?
Yeah, I mean, I either avoid it or I either avoid the argument. Or I get stuck in the pattern. And sometimes you do have to have an argument.
Communicate, right? Communicate.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to have.
Mm-hmm, sure.
It doesn't have to be heated. But
right.
Disagreement.
Right. It sounds to me like what's really creating the suffering over and over and over is the looping part, right? That you get stuck and you're thinking about it over and over and over and over and not being able to let go. So when you find yourself in that situation, in that moment, oh gosh, I'm repeating this narrative in my head over and over and over. What can you do, like maybe physically, that you can do to shift? Any ideas that you can think of? Like breathing or going for a walk or, you know, any kind of physical stuff.
Come back later. Yeah. I mean,
come back later.
Go for a run or,
mm-hmm.
you know, go outside and do something or. But it'll come back. I'll still ruminate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I'm doing, I mean, in some ways, you know, I'm still ruminating by being here on the phone talking about this thing.
I mean, it seems like it's a strong pattern, a strong belief you have. So I think it does take some wiggling, I think. But I think, I mean, you're already aware of it and how much suffering that it's misery it's creating by thinking this thought. So I think little by little, I think you can create a shift. But, and this week, is there anything you can commit to doing to see if that creates a little bit of shift this week? Like you mentioned, go for a run. So let's pick something that you can do. You know, I also can think of journaling. If you have a lot of thoughts, that are looping, it might be helpful for you to write it out. So, you know, anything that you can just try out for this week to see if it helps.
Well, one thing I did try to do today was I sent him some useful information about his section.
Useful information about what?
About his section, about his part of the work that we do.
Okay. So was that helpful for you? To do that in letting go?
It made me feel better because it made me feel like I wasn't in the same space.
Okay. So,
I'm
going to
just
do it. Okay.
I want to just pause right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just for time and just to see how you guys are doing. And that was just an interesting little energy shift that I just wanted to stop and notice it. Did you feel the energy shift in her, Sai, when she said it made me feel better because?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Because she's needing action, perhaps?
Patricia, at any point in time, if I'm off base, please tell me, stop me, and tell me where I'm wrong. But this is a place where she's, all of this energy she's using to loop is energy. And she's, because it's the old pattern of keeping it contained within herself, she's looping it back in on herself, the negative self-talk, and then all of a sudden it's just, it has to have somewhere to go, so it explodes out.
Right.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So what she just said, though, is she took a little bit of that energy and did something to use some of that energy to be of assistance to her and him. It just happened, it happened to include him, but Patricia, sending him this information that will help him with his part, does that also help you and the team?
It does help me and the team, and it also makes me feel less like I'm a problem.
Aha. So there's the belief, I'm a problem. See, that's the energy turning back in on herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she's taking some of that and going, wait a minute, and finding a way to expend some of the energy in action. She's already worked the thought, right? And it's this old pattern that's spinning energy, and blah, 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 gets up in the brain. And she's taken some of it intuitively and said, or maybe through her skill sets of knowing what to do on the job and knowing how to do her job, and taken some of that energy and funneled it into something helpful, forward motion.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you see there's just that spark of relief. She's taken it out of turning it in on herself as negative self-talk and turned it into something productive for the team. And it didn't get all up in his business, like, here's what you should do, I don't think. It didn't sound like it. It's more like, here's something to help.
Yeah.
Mm.
Is that?
And it provided so much relief. It really
yeah.
did. So I think you're really right that it's an opportunity to just kind of like, breathe.
Yeah. And so I love, Sai, that you did the work on this thought and that it is something that what it did was it kind of allowed you to harness where is that energy being spent, and you know that she's worked it. You know that she can see it. You know it's kind of like we've done the work, but this old pattern keeps appearing. So it's got an energetic signature to it. That Patricia, what does it feel like in your body when all of a sudden you turn this energy in on yourself and you know that it might explode out, but all of a sudden it's all this talk about how I'm a problem, I'm hard to get along with, blah, blah, blah. What does that feel like in your body? Vibration does it have?
Well, it feels like I was saying, that it feels like heat without temperature. It feels tense.
Okay, so if you know that is the energetic signature of this pattern, can you give it a name?
I'm usually pretty good at coming up with these names, but I don't know, constriction.
Okay.
Spiraling, I don't know. Yeah, spiraling.
Spiraling? Is that what you said?
Spiraling.
Spiraling. So, okay, can you now just kind of take it and hold it in your hand and look at it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's outside of you. It is not you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now, honestly, when you're in the middle of it and you notice that this is just a little trick, you've done the thought work. You know that you're in an old energetic pattern. It all of a sudden feels like this spiraling thing. You can take it out and look at it and go, holy cow, there it is.
It
caught me again.
Feel it, actually.
It is not me, right? This is the ACT stuff. You know, I notice I'm having this thought. I notice that, but this is more of like an old energy pattern. I notice that I'm entangled with this old energy pattern, which means you get entangled with him because he carries some kind of hook that gets you entangled. You know, I'm entangled with this energy pattern. Look at there. I'm noticing this, which then gives you that separation from it because you've already worked it 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can say, okay, that's good energy. How can I use this energy for our benefit?
What, in my hand, this is good energy?
Mm-hmm. Any energy can be transmuted into good.
Yeah, but I usually send it to the light.
Or you can send it to the light. That works. That's using it for good, right? Because the light transmutes it into whatever it transmutes it into.
Yeah,
so maybe sending it into the light, and then that frees you up then to be able to think and to have clarity, the turnaround that it was just your basic turnaround. I'm easy to get along with,
mm-hmm.
that Psy led you to. It frees that energy up. It frees that space up for you to then go send him materials to help with his piece or whatever the next action is.
Yeah, no, I like that. And I like sending it to the light.
And sending it to the light. We all have old energetic patterns that cycle through that have this, you know, funny little energetic signatures that get us entangled with other people that have the same things going on. And they feel so real. And they are so real when we get entangled with them. And so just the act of noticing, wow, there's the thought. You can quickly work the thought. Oh, my goodness, this is this spiraling thing. Here it is in my hand. Let's send it to the light. You have this little sequence of things that now you can do, noticing your thoughts, noticing what it feels like in your body, and then being able to do something with it. That takes it out of your body and keeps you from turning it in on yourself.
I'm going to try it.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it. I hope that it works.
It's worth a shot anyway.
Yeah. No, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, Psy, does that make sense?
Yes, it totally does make sense because I knew that I needed more. She needed something more. And I was like, okay, where do I go from here? Because
I don't think we teach like that little thingy, and you'll pick up little thingies mm-hmm. along the way in life, you know, that
then you can
take, but it's kind of a spin on ACT, right? How can you take the pattern out of your body, look at it, mm-hmm. see it for what it is. It is not
mm-hmm.
you.
I love that.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope
I'm glad you did that because I was like, I know this wasn't like too helpful to go through. Maybe a little bit, but you know, so I was like, coming up against some resistance, I was like, how do I shift it? So it's good to know to go there.
It just gives you another little
energetically, to energetically shift because I do like the body centered stuff.
Yeah.
To put it out. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. And if you go back and listen to the recording, I think listening to the pickup in her voice, I mean, it's just
mm-hmm.
it was right when she mentioned some. And a lot of times it's not an action-oriented thing that is the solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going into fixing it with action isn't always it.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's fixing, you know, is this dissolving a thought or something
like
that. But every once in a while, it's a square three thing. She's in square three, I think, I mean,
mm-hmm.
what it sounds like,
mm-hmm.
in this job or in this project. Tell me where I'm wrong, Patricia.
Square three in this. You know, I've never thought of any of these consulting contracts as being a phase of anything. let's see. I'm in phase three of it. Probably. I think you're right. At this stage, it is like phase three.
When you've got a client in phase three, a lot of times those little acts, anything that will carve a way through the energy that's causing a block that will allow you to move forward in the square three, bringing whatever it is to life, is valid coaching.
Oh.
Okay. I have a question now that you mentioned that, because in square three, I thought you're more action-oriented in square three.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of how I thought, but it's not. Or
you know, it is. That's what I'm saying. It is, which is why that little action thing that she did brought her a lift.
Yeah.
She was able to move forward.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, and so that's, And a lot of times action, moving forward and things, you know, doing things to try to fix something won't really fix it if you're in square one. But if you're in square three, that's actually what we're after.
Hmm. Okay. So was that okay the way I navigated into what can you do this week and something that can help you shift? Okay.
Yeah, and it's just then catching up on that. Sometimes a client won't. Sometimes a client will go, well, that's why I'm coming to see you. You know, you tell me. you help navigate her, and then just listening for the cues, and actually she gave it to you. In the, I did something.
Which
I sent something to him. And okay, what is the next thing you can do now after that?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, you did something, but okay, what can I suggest now? Was like, okay, what?
Right.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, and then you might run into another limiting belief, and so square three is a fun little sometimes square three square one dance.
I could,
you know, where you're, you
could
take a few steps and then. Yeah, take a few steps and then.
Totally. Yeah, totally looping back. Oh, another one. Moving back to another movie. So,
yeah. And the point is once you are onto yourself, that little dance, you don't have to spend your time doing the, you know, a 30-minute in-depth variation of the work. You're like, oh, there's that pattern. There's that spiraling pattern.
Right.
Hold it, send it to the light. You know, I see what's happening. And then sometimes it is something new, and you kind of have to spend a little bit of time on it. But the lizard would like nothing more than to shut you down in square three if it's risky. But in this case, she just got entangled with this guy, this guy's energy. She got entangled with it. And and all the energy that had been being used to turn on herself all of a sudden came out, which is great that it came out. I mean, you know, Patricia, it's great that you came out, that it came out. I'm glad you weren't turning it in on yourself anymore. But then all of a sudden there's a void and you start turning it in on yourself again.
So in this case, what action going forward would you offer, you know, since that was helpful?
What actions I would leave it at. When you notice, you've noticed the energetic signature, when you notice it, now, you know, see if you can catch it. See how early you can catch it. You know, notice that, what temperature with no temperature, that sensation in your body.
Yeah.
See it for what it is. Before you get entangled, or as you're getting entangled, be able to take it out, not become it, and see if you can, give it to the light, and see if you can then use. Then you can think from a clear place in which way to go next.
Mm.
So it's, it's a, because the real concern was that she keeps looping. I can't let it go. I'm kind of obsessing over it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the signature. That's the energetic signature. Take it out of your body.
Right.
Just let it sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Send it to the light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from, you know, the residual energy left over, what is there room to do?
Yeah.
It keeps coming back, you know, why there might be some more coaching around it. But right now it's really just a noticing of when the pattern comes up.
You know,
you don't really have to get into the day-to-day nitty-gritty of the square three project she's in. It's more of watching the energetics.
Yeah. Being able to shift.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it makes sense. That's super helpful.
You know, one thing that it did do for me by saying that is you moved me from the original thought that I had to allow me to be the opposite person that I also think I am.
Which is?
Which is a helpful person.
Awesome.
And that really feels good. That just feels so full.
Of course it does, because it's the truth.
I just wanted to point that out because I really feel that very distinctly in me.
My hands might go up.
I'm easy to get along with.
You're
easy to get along with.
That's a good question, Laura.
I'm sorry, despite all of those difficult coaching sessions you've had.
No, you helped me grow. You helped me cultivate my coaching skills.
Thanks.
Thank you, Patricia.
So is there somebody that had a question? Or
yeah, it's if you guys, that was awesome. Patricia and Cy and Jennifer, yeah, I love this, you know, taking that that negative energy and just holding it, taking it out of your body, holding it, and then, you know, Patricia sending it to the light. My question is, Patricia,
yeah,
imagine yourself, you're in that situation and you are noticing that you're potentially spiraling and you're able to, you know, take that energy, take it out of your body, imagine it in your hand and just kind of poof, just send it to the light. How would Mr. Obnoxious react when you all of a sudden calm down and don't engage? Like, what is it that, how do you believe that he would react? Or how will it shift his behavior, if at all?
I mean, it might make it, it might allow him to feel more comfortable and more receptive of what's going on with me. It might make
mm-hmm.
him, you know, have more space to be able to pontificate in a not so useful way. But I mean, I would just let it pass. You know, I just let
mm-hmm.
it come like a small sprinkle instead of, you know, create a big thunderstorm. And I won't be part of it. And that to me is so liberating.
Mm.
But I don't
know.
I'm curious. You know, you raise an interesting point. The whole dynamic could change and he could actually be a good guy. So.
I'm just really curious because I think it would be interesting to see when you're faced with someone like that, because I think we all have times in our lives when we face that kind of person, and when they see that you're not engaging with them, will they back down? And, you know, it's just, it's more just an observation and a curiosity if you have any sense of what the reaction would be. But the example, like this coaching session you guys just had, was fantastic. Really wonderful to listen to and learn from. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Cy, and thank you, Patricia. And the fun thing is to actually watch other people and how they navigate through the world with you being true to yourself and it standing in your own power. And then if they still are the way they are, then they are the way they are. It's kind of their business. But it is interesting. It's always interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And curious. So, any other questions or feedback? Okay. So, Cy, how was that coaching for you?
Oh, I learned a lot, especially from the last bit that you helped with. That was super helpful. Yeah.
Good. One thing I would love
yeah.
for you to do is listen back to the recording. And okay. while you were talking with her, there
mm-hmm.
and this is just a suggestion, and this is for everybody, including me, when I was a new coach, you will, I think, notice that a couple of times you looped back around and started asking the five whys again on the same set of questions.
I did?
Well, it was a different variation. I mean, it was, but it was kind of like a variation on a theme. And
like repeating myself?
Well, looped around with Patricia in her story a couple of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't bad. What I want you to listen to, this is a form of deep practice, not critical listening at all. This deep practice of where do you think
sure.
you could have gone in and grabbed the thought and gone ahead
yeah.
and started into the
yeah.
work. And
yeah.
all that does is it just gives you more time after you do the work to talk. Right, it gives you more the client gets more bang for their buck. And I'm not saying you dive in like the first limiting belief you hear and don't let them finish their story. But just listen
right.
to parts that go, okay, I think I got her story here, I could have started here. Or I think I got her story
yeah.
here, I could have started there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I probably lack confidence in that, like, wait, can I just go there? You know, like, do I need to listen a little more to be sure, to be certain this is what
that's
I need to be
what I was
on?
Sensing. That's
yeah.
exactly what I was sensing and I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Is so, and
yeah.
and so by listening to this, I think maybe you can just listen to the energy and go, oh, yeah, I had her story. I still had her story.
Yeah, know? And I think
and
I, yeah.
And it is just a practice.
Yeah, sure. And I think I tend to repeat myself when I'm unsure of what I'm doing also, like kind of by time and like, okay, is this so that's also something, yeah.
I didn't hear you like repeating yourself like to buy time kind of stuff, but it was more like you weren't testing that you actually
that,
had.
Yeah, that too. Both, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do both, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah. And again, no harm, no foul. And sometimes it is nice to have the client just really spill their story. If you don't know it, if it's the first time with them and you're just really trying to get a good feel of where the pain point is. And then sometimes you got the pain point, just go in. And again, then it gives you time to play afterwards. Play with turnarounds, play with how you're going to live the turnarounds, play with any other tool, you know, any other coaching gym that might come out of it.
Right.
So that's what it gives you in the end and your client.
Yeah, right. Makes
that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, Patricia, how are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Yeah, I've got my little ball that I can transmutate, so I'm really good to go.
Awesome. Very nice. All right, so we have 20 minutes, which is time to play with another pairing. Just, and I can tell Terry if we don't finish, or you guys, whoever's paired up, can finish, you know, connect at some point during the week. Something that's not a, you know, deep dive square one, maybe. Does anybody else have an issue that you would like to be coached around? Would you like to be a client? To go look at my list here of everybody that's here. Or that if you're just now aching to be the coach. Let's see. I'm just going to call on people. Aura.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Would you be up for being a coach or client just really quickly?
Sure.
Which one?
I don't know. With the I am drawing a blank on anything I would be coached on at the moment.
Okay. So hang tight, and maybe you can coach. Dina, you still out there?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you willing to be the client?
Let me see if there's something.
It can be like little too.
Okay. I think I've got some.
Okay. All right. So, Aura, take it away if you are okay to do that.
Hi, Dina. How are you?
I'm pretty good, Aura. Thanks.
How are you?
I'm good. So, what is it that you have going on?
You know, my schedule got really sort of busy all at once, everything happening at once. For the past, since the beginning of May, I've been doing the coaching, and then I started a new job, part-time job, which I really love. So it really works with everything that I'm doing in terms of, like, helping people. And then, what else? Working with other people one-on-one in another modality, not just coaching. Some people had wanted to have some sessions and some coaching sessions, too. And then when school started, and I decided I'll just take a couple of classes. One of them is pretty intense, and it's, again, you know, a subject matter that I really like, and it kind of works with the whole, it's Chinese medicine school, so acupuncture and herbs, and then the job I got was at an herb store. So everything kind of worked together, and everything was really, like, flowing and flowy together, and I was really good about, you know, thinking, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, perfect with school. I decided not to be that way. I have to get an A or A minus, B in the evenings. I'm okay with getting a B, you know. But recently, like over the weekend, it kind of stressed me out. Like I wasn't stressed before, and then suddenly it just, like, stressed me out, and it wasn't feeling as flowy anymore, I guess.
Did anything?
Like, I feel like I don't have time. Like, I feel like my time is, you know, one thing I do is, like, I practice. I do a lot of meditation, and I feel like, you know, like, wow, I'm just not having enough time for school, and I, even though I decided I'm not going to be, like, perfect at it, I'm going to study what I really think is important, and I'm okay with getting a B, you know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just asking, did anything different change before the weekend?
You know, actually something was had changed. Something had been changing. My boyfriend had been looking into, like, campers and trucks, and it's really for us to have, like, a comfortable setting, you know, for when we go camping instead of just in his car and, like, a tent. And so there was one weekend, a couple weekends ago, where I said, oh, okay, yeah, I'll go Saturday with you. And it's like a far drive. It ended up taking all day, and it really cut into my time. And I thought, well, okay, this is important. It's fun. So I'm just going to not worry too much about studying for school. And it was going to happen again this Saturday. And he wasn't totally, like, pressuring me, but part of me felt like, oh, yeah, I should try. Well, I'll try. I can actually study on the way while he's driving, right? I don't have to drive. And, you know, it's a place that was three hours away to check out a truck. And then it's something, like, that was supposed to be Saturday possibly, and I was still going to decide about it. And Friday night, I got really triggered, like a stress trigger about just, like, overwhelm, I guess, because I want to, you know, go, and it's fun to even just go places. But even going to look at a truck, you know, it just at the same time thought, oh, no, I shouldn't. I can't really do that. And so everything got a little bit overwhelming. And it really created stress and stress in my body. And I really had to go and, you know, like, meditate and do all this work on myself, and had a friend help as well.
Now, the thought, I should go. So going with your boyfriend, did that feel like an obligation?
I would say the part that I should go felt like an obligation. But then there was a part of, oh, I want to go. Because it totally sounds fun, and but I wasn't sure if I would be able to study in the car. And I was studying in the morning and the night before, so that I could, just in case that it wasn't going to work out, like, kind of gathering materials of types that I can study rather than reading, just looking at certain notes. And so, you know, sort of trying to prepare for that. But yeah, I guess obligation. Part of that is obligation for sure.
So when you thought about your weekend and you knew that you had to study for school and you had all this stuff going on, and suddenly you wanted to go look at the truck, if you get really still and hear inside of yourself, how did you want to spend the weekend?
I wanted to, I wanted to do both studying and go with him. So it was a little bit conflicting in terms of, like, wasn't sure if I could do both. I wasn't sure if I could study in the car, and it created some anxiety. Because it would have taken all day. It was a three-hour drive there and back.
Mm-hmm. And where did you feel it in your body?
Okay, let's see. My chest and solar plexus, that whole area.
I'm just writing that down.
Chest.
Mm-hmm. So maybe the, and tell me where I'm wrong, you wanted to do both, but they somehow still felt like obligations, both of them?
Let's see.
The schoolwork and going with him?
Both of them. Yeah, both felt like obligations. Yeah, there's a part of it. I think obligations and wanting to as well, but it would be the obligation part, I guess, that would be the discomforting part.
So is there a way to reorganize?
To reorganize and
your schedule. And if you asked yourself maybe with nobody else's input what you really wanted to do for that Saturday, and didn't worry about anything else, like not your school pressures, not your boyfriend wanting company or anything, where do you think you would have gone?
I would have gone with him.
And so was the school, like, kind of hanging over you?
You know, I guess that was hanging over me more now that we're talking about it. That was feeling more the obligation, because I have an exam tomorrow. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and it's a huge, like, this class is like a review class of over everything we've studied over the past couple of years. But, you know, it's kind of like you know, I forget what it's called, like in medical school, like, everything you learned or was supposed to have learned, but you didn't. There's so much information. Now you gotta like really know. So it's like a huge, huge amount of information. So I guess I would have wanted just to go with him.
And you said earlier that you told yourself that you would be okay with doing the school in a relaxed way, and you said you'd be okay with getting B's.
Yeah, and I had been doing that. I had been doing that up until Friday. So for like 6 weeks, I was okay. Like, it was okay in a, like that. I just wasn't like stressed out about it.
So was it the big test coming up?
Yeah. I would say part of it is a big test coming up, but I already had some tests, you know, and that was just kind of a normal stress sort of test, not too bad. Part of it, as we're talking, and actually I was talking to him about this last night, was that, because I told him, like, I got super stressed about the weekend, and so before starting school, which I know I totally, you know, I want to do it. I love learning what I'm learning. But I got used to, I took a year off of school while I was doing some transition in life. And I had my weekends free. And so I was free. We were free. I was free to just, you know, we would just go off and do things. And I don't have that anymore. And I think I'm just getting a little bit frustrated by that. You know, and somehow try to, I thought, well, you can just manage my time so that I don't have to study on weekends the way you, like, work during the weekday. Mm-hmm. But then a bunch of other things came into play, too, like a bunch of people wanted coaching and sessions and this modality, you know, coaching but other modalities, too. And at the same time, I have to say that I've been feeling this push to
just in, just energetically, and it feels right too to start my business. So that's more of a just slowly, you know, I want to go get a license, and but we won't talk about that. That's actually kind of going along on its own. But yeah, I would say like the school. I think that that's been not fitting lately in the past week, not fitting in as well as I would like it to. I don't want it to interrupt my weekends too much, basically.
But your weeks are getting jam-packed?
Yeah. Part of it is that, you know, I have a lot of studying to do, but I also take time to meditate and create that balance during the week. And then I find myself, oh, on the weekend I have more schoolwork. So, and I thought I don't want to not enjoy what I'm studying.
True. So maybe we could apply the three B's to this.
Okay.
Like, can you think of a way to either bag it, better it, or barter something in your schedule?
Just bagging it. I think I've been bagging that. Like I, you know, I told you, like, I'm going to be just more prudent and not be, oh, like, I have to get an A and study everything. It's like, there's certain things I know I don't really need to know, and I'm just going to be okay with that. So I don't know if I could bag any more.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because it sounds like, tell me where I'm wrong, like, everything in your schedule you enjoy.
I do. I love, yeah, and I don't want to dislike it, but yeah, I do. I like everything that I'm learning and doing. You know,
is there anything you can barter that would free up some of your time?
No. Mm-mm. I kind of have a lot of freedom. Like I said, the work that I do part-time is, you know, yeah, it's not something that I would want to. It's not even that many hours a week, so. And then the sessions, those, I find those to be actually having the sessions with people, I find it to be actually more important than school because I'm getting really good practice and there, some people are starting to pay me.
Nice.
And so I feel like that's just, you know, like later on, I'll add the acupuncture and herbs into my practice. So this, that feels very right. It almost feels like the most important thing right now, basically.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about school then, because it seems like the stress comes in, and tell me where I'm wrong, when you, it's always around your school.
Yeah, it is. I'd say it is mostly with the school. Cause it
Are
wasn't
you enjoying
until
it?
That it started. I am, when I'm not stressing out, that I started stressing out on Friday.
No.
But then I did kind of put that aside at times and just say, you know what, I'm just going to relax and sit on the couch and have tea and just really, you know, like you're reading a book and just enjoying and remembering, and that's just going to be it. So
nice.
I've gotten that far.
And has it
an exam is tomorrow, so like, you know, what can I do? So this exam is, but anyway, yeah.
How much longer do you have in school?
It's like a couple of years. I did like a couple of years already, and I have another 2 years.
Oh, wow. And is there, like, can you take breaks in the program or no?
You know, I did. I just taken a year break because I was making a lot of changes and
had just moved to a different city, and it's actually a different school. I just transferred to this school.
Okay, so I'm going to call time right here just because we're at the end of class. But just so where, just to recap, and then we can, you know, figure out where to go from here. Ara, where do you think, kind of recap for me, what did you hear? What do you think is going on?
I think she's just getting overwhelmed with certain things, mm-hmm. and maybe, and this is just my hunch, school isn't holding as much interest as the other things in her life, and maybe that was just my hunch about that, and that she values, you know, time to for herself to do the meditating and, you know, all the other things she really values, I think.
Yeah. So what do you think is causing, so, and it's just, this is for everybody, when somebody says I'm overwhelmed, what is causing the overwhelm? Usually. Do you know?
Obligation.
It's thoughts. It's our thoughts about the obligations, or our thoughts about what we perceive the obligations to be. And it is also caused by, in the middle of square three, again, usually, when we've got this big to-do list, we think we don't have enough time, or we think we have lost our weekend. I don't have my weekend anymore was the one glaring thing that she threw out that I was like, oh, there it is. I've lost my weekend. tell me where I'm wrong, Dina.
You're not wrong. Yeah, and I talked about it with my boyfriend last night.
Yeah. And so there's this belief that she has no choice and she has, like, completely abandoned all hopes of ever having her weekend back. I mean, that's an exaggeration, but...
it is exaggeration, but yeah.
That's very much an exaggeration, but that's where the brain goes with it, and it you throw yourself into a place of powerlessness, like, I'm a victim of, and again, that is an exaggeration. That's usually where overwhelm comes, and then it comes from not breaking the big, big task into small enough pieces, so then we freak out because just the monumental task in front of us is just too big. So that it sounds to me like she's got both of those things going on. This big, huge test has got, like, all this material that she's never learned, you know, that all the stuff you learn but were never tested on, we're all of a sudden going to get tested on it tomorrow. You know, it's huge. And then couple that with the belief that she lost her precious weekend. So those are the things actually that I would take, Dina, and if you know, pen to paper, if you have a chance. Mm-hmm. How did you say it? I've lost my weekend. I don't have a weekend anymore. What was it that you said?
My weekends aren't as free as they used to be.
But yeah, my weekends aren't as
something
free
like
as they
that.
Used to be. Something like that. Okay. My weekends are not as free as they used to be. I've lost the freedom of... Take it and write that down and honestly work that thought.
Okay. That's a good idea. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and so for you, Ara, and everybody else listening, whenever you hear a thought that sounds like or feels in your body like the client just gave their power over to something or has lost their power, has lost something that matters to them, like their weekend and their time, that's the time to go in and say, oh, really? Is that true? And the teaching point to a lot of clients that are not coaches, okay, and this is going to be totally new, a new concept for them, the teaching point there you as a coach can actually go into is that everything in your life is a choice. And she's not, I don't want to do the work for you here, but, you know, is that, you know, you've actually, you know, the weekend has still got the same number of hours, same number of days, the same number of everything, and how you choose to fill it is your choice. And you've also got five other days that you say you've got a lot of flexibility in your job and stuff. So it's a matter of bringing the language back around for the client to
language that is disempowering is I've lost, I have to do something, I should do something, I can't do something, I need to do something, and shift it into language of, well, I chose this, I chose to do this, or I choose to do this, or I want to do this, or, you know, picking back up her power and realizing that she, you know, I've made all these choices, and now I can, then you can go to the three B's and actually have something
okay.
to sink your teeth into. 3B's was a great choice. A great choice. You just, with limited time, you didn't actually have the whole to-do list, you know, and at that point you have, when she's picked up her power and says, well, I have these 10 things to do, and you can get really, with a whole hour session, right, you can say, show me your to-do list, and you actually have the literal things, you have something to sink that tool into, the 3B's, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's coming from a place of empowerment and not this kind of ethereal up here like you know, in theory she knows she has flexibility and all this stuff, but really there's this sense of powerlessness over all the stuff that she's chosen to do. So get the client landed, grounded.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like what is a good clear way to do that?
That I would have grabbed that thought. I've lost my weekend, or I've lost the freedom. I don't have freedom on my weekends anymore. Whatever that was, that to me was one of those sentences that I was like, oh, there's her pain point, or a pain point. It may not be the pain point, but it kind of tied back into her boyfriend's finding the camping stuff for the weekends. It's going to make camping more fun. It's like, oh, I want to go camping. I've lost the freedom over my weekend. That whole thing kind of tied together to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would take that, and it doesn't have to be a long version of the work, or it could be, you know, some other thought dissolution tool, but I always go to the work because it's just quick and easy, and go, you know, really, is that true? You don't have freedom over your weekend? You know, tell me about that, you know? How do you react when you think that thought? And kind of that's a way to get your client kind of grounded. Then you can, from the turnaround, oh, I do have freedom over my weekend. Or I do have a choice over my weekend, and if it's all about freedom, is like, well, okay, tell me, let's look at your to-do list. How can you free up some more of your weekend? You know, that's kind of how I would have navigated this specific one. Now, there are other ways that you can do it, too, but that was where my brain went.
Okay. I like that. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks. Thanks, Aura and Jennifer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, how are you, Dana? Is this a okay stopping point for you?
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks for the reminder of the, you know, we all have free will and choice in what we do. So that's a good reminder.
Good. Okay. And Aura, you, how was that coaching? I know we're a little bit over, but how was that?
Oh, it was good. I was a little nervous, but I always am on these.
Oh, you're great.
You did too. It was opening up my, you know, making me more flexible in my thoughts of how I'm thinking about this. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
Thanks for volunteering to be coached.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as having limited time, it was just a good practice to get in there and dig around, see what came up, and what can you do with it. This is the playground. So thank you for being willing to get in and play with limited amount of time. So
oh, and this was really helpful, what you told us at the end. I really like that.
Good. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So I am not going to... unless Terry asked me to sub again, Terry will be back with you guys for the rest of this practicum, but I really, really enjoyed being with you guys. And if you have any other questions, please do feel free to pop them out on the forum. And I apologize for keeping you over a little bit, but it was really fun.
Thank you.
Thank you. I hope you guys have a wonderful night.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.